All right. So we are going to move on to our third testimony. And Diane, you can start making your way up as I introduce you. So a little over a year ago, I sat on Diane's patio drinking a San Pellegrino, I think it was lemon flavored, while interviewing Diane for a blog post that I wrote for Westside about expressions of worship. And interviewing Diane was a really wonderful experience that I found equally encouraging and challenging. Not because of her, but because of the things she said. So when I was asked to find people to give their testimony at this retreat, Diane was one of the first people that came to my mind. She recently retired from 36 years of teaching primary age children, and she is here to tell the tale. And she is enjoying the amazing adventure of serving the Lord in her retirement. Diane serves Westside on the cafe team. And the verse that comes to mind when I think of Diane is Proverbs 31, verses 25 to 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So please welcome Diane. I'm going to pray for you. Hold this nice and close. Chris, would you prefer her to use this mic or this mic? This mic, okay. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for Diane and her story, and thank you for what you have put on her heart to share this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give her courage and strength as she shares your glory in her life. In your name, amen.
Amen.
There you go.
This one?
Yep, okay. Nice and close.
Okay. We were given strict instructions to keep this to 15 minutes, but I want to squeeze something in before I start. And that is, and I'll talk fast, and that is, I don't know if this has been planned, Laura, or people who have organized this, but I want to, on behalf of all of us, thank those women who have put together this retreat and have spent so many... So many hours, months, prayer and work and in every detail, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And the painting last night was so much fun, although I'm not quitting my day job. It was everything, the snacks and the little candy bar and just all the speakers and everything organized and the beautiful centerpieces, everything is just... been phenomenal. So to all those women who worked so hard to put this together, thank you from all of us. God blessed me with a Christian family, with parents who wanted me to know Jesus and who modeled his love to me and my three brothers. I grew up knowing that Jesus loved me and that he would always be with me and that he would never let me down. I was told I was precious in his sight. And as a young girl, I believed these truths. And it's been walking in my life's journey that I have experienced these truths personally. God does love me. God is always with me. God will never let me down. I am precious in his sight. But along with these vital truths was the constant noise of the world. The world spoke to me all of the time. Most of the time, I wasn't aware of it, but it was always sending me messages telling me, when you are in high school, you go on dates on the weekends. All girls who are desirable will have boys who will want to take them on dates. And when you graduate, you'll either be a teacher or a nurse or a secretary, but this will not be a long career because when you turn 25, you will get married and you will live in a house with a lovely fence around it and you will have children. Everyone is married by then. You are a girl, and all girls dream of their wedding day. Not much thought given to the day-to-day after the marriage. The wedding was the thing. Kissing and hugging and holding hands and spooning a cute husband in bed is heavenly, and no one can live happily without that. All of your growing up life, your mother and father look forward to your wedding day, especially if you're their daughter. And your dad looks forward to walking you down the aisle, and your mother will be able to relax, knowing you'll be cared for the rest of your life. I had this very conversation with a friend of mine about a month ago. My daughter is married, so I can relax, she told me. The world also convinced me that if I don't get married, it's because there's something wrong with me. Nobody wants me. I must be defected in some way. If I don't get married, I will be lonely. I will be by myself. I will be isolated, and I will be left out. If I don't get married, I'll be missing out on the optimal life. I will have to settle for a second-rate, substandard single life. If I don't get married, I will be a spinster, for goodness sakes. Men are bachelors. Women are spinsters. Seriously. So, in high school, I went on a few dates. I loved being able to say to my friends, I have a date on Saturday night with, not particularly excited about the date itself, just that I had one. And then in university, if a young man took notice of me, I was flattered, and it boosted my self-esteem. I'm ashamed to admit that to you, but there it is. And I met Richard, and we became friends, and then more than friends, and we were together for 8 years. I could say many things that I learned from that time in my life, but for my purposes today, let me say that in retrospect, one of the things I treasured about being with Richard is that I had somebody. I was one of the girls someone wanted. It made me feel secure in a worldly way. It boosted my self-esteem, again in a worldly way. And he became my best friend, and I couldn't imagine my life without him. But the relationship ended, another long story. And when it did, in my mind, I was a loser because I had convinced myself that having a boyfriend made me desirable. I was now undesirable. Because having a boyfriend made me worthy, I was now unworthy. Because having a boyfriend made me fit in, I didn't fit in anywhere. Without realizing it, I had forgotten who I was in Jesus and had allowed myself to be identified by the world's standards and values. I was no longer whole and complete in Jesus. I found my worth, my validity, my completeness elsewhere. When that relationship ended, that relationship that I had given myself to, that worldly value that I allowed to define who I was left with nothing. I was broken. And I felt as though I deserved to be broken and that I deserved all of the pain I suffered. Now, aside, can't this apply to anything in our lives? When it's all about what university degree we have or what job we have or what real estate we own or wear or weighing 100 or 2 pounds or wearing the right clothes or being married or having children or you fill in the blanks. When we base our happiness and self-worth and peace on anything or anyone other than Jesus and these things or people do not exist for us or are taken away from us, what are we left with? Nothing. But when our all is based on God himself, we are never left with nothing because God never fails us or changes or lets us down or gives up on us or abandons us. He is the beginning and the end. When we die, he is all that there is. How that he should be all that there is while we live. And when I stop listening to the world and living my life according to the world's roadmap, and I tune my ears to God, he clears away the confusing and noisy and filthy clang of the world, and he says to me, you are my treasure, so much so I died on a cross for you. Your life is in my hands. All of its days were ordained, determined, prescribed for you before you were even born. No one I have created a second rate. Your rating is not based on whether you're married or single or beautiful or plain or how accomplished you are or where you live or how you dress or what degree you have. You are precious and made in my image. I can use you and use you fully as you walk with me and look to me and take time to listen. It is I who brings fullness and joy of life, not what the world has to offer. Not what the world holds up as desirable, must have. In me, you are justified, adopted, a new creation, a saint, a servant of mine, a work in progress. That is who I am. And that is all I want to be, and all I need to be, and all I hope to be. And now, I am 63 years old, and I have never married, and I have never dated since Richard. I am single and happy and fulfilled and at peace. My life is meaningful, helpful to others, and I pray pleasing to God. I am not lonely, nor isolated, nor left out, nor by myself. My life is not one that I've had to settle for as some kind of booby prize. I have close, close friends who are a family to me. Children in my life who are like my very own children. People in my life who love me as I am and who I truly love. I have intimacy with friends. Okay, so I'm still a spinster. But other than that, it's all good. Was I created in a different way? With a special ability, with an abnormal competency which enables me to be at peace being single? Aren't most people created to naturally want to be married? The gift of being single, or the gift of being able to be married and what each costs, is not in our capacity to be so. The gift is in the circumstance, defined by Webster as predestination, lovingly chosen and given to us from God, our God of grace. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. The gift is good because the gift giver is good. My life and God's presence in my life is the gift. And I live my life experiencing the goodness of God and serving Him and serving others for Him. Both singles and those who are married are given the gift of life in which they can experience the goodness of God. There's blessing in both. 1 Corinthians 7:17, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. God is not more present in one way of living than in another. And whether you have been given the gift of singleness, or singleness for a season as you pray for a future husband, or have been called into a married life, may we use the gifts that have been given to us wisely, and may we live joyfully and thankfully. Because it is not Jesus and a husband, Jesus and real estate, Jesus and a certain look, Jesus and the right job, Jesus and you fill in the blanks. The gift, the peace, the fullness of life is Jesus. Just Jesus. Psalm 62. For God alone my soul wait in silence. My hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. The peace that is living our lives as God intended, not as how the world thinks they should be lived or as we think is best. And while there's nothing wrong with husbands or nice homes or a good job or having children or whatever it is you feel you can't live without and be complete without, they do not fully satisfy. They are not forever. They do not fulfill and complete us. In closing, I want to share something I read in an article by Anne Voskamp, which I found very powerful. She writes, "What if we bravely lived what we humbly pray? Your kingdom come, not our kingdom. Your will be done, not ours. Your story be written, not our way, but your way, because you alone are the way, because you alone are God, and we are not. God's plan for my life. It may not look like the picture I had in my head, but it is the only way to live truly whole, to live truly free, and to live fully." Thank you.